If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. We're reading, looking at verses 1 through 8 today. Amos 3, 1 through 8. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare in the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants and the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, but who can but prophesy? As Amos is continuing his rebuke. I was thinking this week of how much of our social cultural bandwidth is spent on celebrity and success. We admire success, and for good reasons, right? I mean, someone who has worked hard or is successful or very talented, we admire them. And in that particular American narrative of success, we enjoy the stories of someone who works hard, and really much of it is just the principle of cause and effect, right? If you do this, then this will happen. You work hard, save your money, use your talents, be wise, make good choices, and then good things will happen. So then, of course, we'd say then the opposite is true, right? Bad things are happening, it's because you weren't doing this or you did certain things. And there's just a principle of cause and effect there, and it's true. It really is. We teach it to our children from a very, very young age. Touch a hot stove, guess what? You will get burned. You know, tease your sister too long, she will punch you in the nose. And so we have this principle. And we apply it to much of our lives. Our marriages, you put in the time, you show love, you have a successful marriage. If you are an athlete and you train and you discipline yourself, you will have success. And this is all very, very true. But sometimes we forget, in considering this principle of cause and effect, the effect of our fallenness, our brokenness, our bentness towards selfishness. And so when the flesh tempts us, even just a little bit, we are capable and likely to dismiss any idea of cause and effect. Oh, it's not a big deal. It's okay this time. Or we lean upon the grace of God and just take it for granted and say, oh, well, I may have fallen short, but it's okay because there's grace and I'm forgiven. We've seen it, you know, over and over again. If you pay attention to the evangelical bubble news, but we're in the midst of another string of famous, big name, huge church pastors falling for sin. Inappropriate behaviors over and over again, and it comes down to, again, that principle of cause and effect, and that no one is beyond God's sight in these things. And so Amos today is kind of confronting Israel with the idea of cause and effect, and he's going to do it in two ways. He's first going to let them know that just because You have a chosen covenantal relationship with the God of the universe, Yahweh. It does not mean, it does not guarantee blessings or escaping judgment. It does not. And we'll see that Israel was taking that for granted. But secondly, just because I think when Israel hears this, they're going to have a hard time. They're like, what? No. This doesn't make sense. And Amos is going to do, as we read, like he's done before, take us down a road of examples, get people's heads nodding, yep, that's true. And then, cause and effect, people. Cause and effect. Affects you. Affects us, too. All right, so we start off with the idea that just because you have this privileged position as the chosen, as the covenantal people of God, speaking here in Amos' time, and hear the echo today. Okay, hear it. Chosen people of God, Israel, that's us. Okay, we enjoy that privileged call today. We are the inheritors of that call today. So Amos' words are to us today. And he starts with an imperative, a powerful command. Hear. Hear the word the Lord has said. Hear it. Please, I beg you, hear the word. And that is what Amos is saying to them. He's imploring Israel, please hear these words. Israel and this whole family, he ties it to these familiar bonds of family. And he took you out of Egypt. This is who he's identifying. And I think as we see this here, we are also seeing that Amos is not just limiting it to the north and south tribes. It's the whole family, Israel and Judah, that he's speaking to here. If you remember from last week, the judgments that Amos was pronouncing, they were not following his law. They were oppressing the poor. They were mistreating the vulnerable. They were mistreating the prophets and the Nazarites. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear it. They were taking for granted their position as God's people. They were taking advantage of the special relationship. And that's what we see in verse 2. For you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And they thought they could just rest on that. The idea for them was, we are God's covenant people, therefore we will be blessed. That was the promises are. Cause and effect. We're God's people. He will bless us. We will prosper. We will be protected. And the verse 2 of chapter 3 says, therefore, because of, think of it, therefore, because you think this, because you are thinking this way, you will be punished. And the idea here is, even as God was judging the nations, he will judge his people more. That with greater privilege comes greater responsibility. With greater knowledge comes greater accountability. And if you know, and these people should know, it's going to be harsh. You will not escape cause and effect because you are God's special people. And also, we have to think again the turning of that, and especially in our Western cultures, that we look at, and Israel did too. This is an old thought, folks, that blessing, comfort, family, our church attendance, the just the many blessings that we enjoy here in this country, that those things do not necessarily mean or guarantee a right standing with God. The fact that we are so comfortable and blessed and rich is not necessarily pointing to our relationship with God, or that we are right with God. In fact, I would venture that the blessings and riches and comforts we enjoy are a measure of God's grace. We want to put it to cause and effect. I worked hard, or I've been blessed, or I'm in good relationship with the Lord, and therefore I'm having all these good things. And really, at the end of the day, if we take for serious if God says that we are broken and all have fallen short of God's glory, that it's all grace. All of it. Pride. Pride brings us down. Pride in our status. It leads to arrogance, which leads to the mistreatment of others, the ability to other people to dehumanize those that we disagree with or we want to separate from. And we get to that place of arrogance, we get to that place of feeling above, we can point fingers at others. And we can justify our mistreatments of others. Oh, you're poor because you're lazy. Therefore, I do not have to treat you well. You are in this position because you have made poor choices. Cause and effect. Therefore, I don't have to worry about you. You are not from here. You're not part of my people. Therefore, I don't have to worry about you. And God, in his prophet Amos, says to them, warns them, pleads with them, do not take this path. Just because you think that you have this privileged spot, it is not going to spare you from the judgment that I have. Because cause and effect is for everyone. And like I said, because I think Israel would just be like, this doesn't make sense. Of course. You know, and at this time, remember, they were enjoying a time of peace and blessing and prosperity. They were becoming arrogant. Thought they were untouchable. And in that pride, God is speaking to them. And because they had a hard time, so Amos takes them down a path. And he gives them these examples, a series to understand and get their heads nodding in the right direction of the connection of cause and effect and how that applies to Israel. He again just does what he does and then snaps the trap at the end. So we see these examples. The first one we see in verse 3. Example of, says, when two walk together, unless they agree to meet. Now we're not talking about like scheduling a meeting like we do, okay? In the Middle East at the time, you know, you walked everywhere, right? You're going here and there, and people would just often come along the same way. And the idea was, why are you going to walk along with somebody, that you find unpleasant? You of course, you're going to want to walk with somebody that you can have a pleasant time together. Make this trip go quicker. It could be several hours of walking down this dusty road. And if I'm walking next to somebody that, you know, I completely disagree with politically or socially or religiously, it's not going to be a fun walk at all. And so they meet. They say, oh, hey, Fred, let's walk together. This will be nice. Right? And so that, and then people go, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, yeah, why am I going to walk with someone I'm not going to have a good conversation with? We want to be in agreement and makes for a better path. It begs the question, or leads to the idea of ourness with God. It makes no sense to think that we can walk along with God in prosperity and happiness and peace if we are at odds with Him. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And so we wish to, in this example, Amos is leaning towards the idea, no, if you want to be good with God, you walk with Him, in agreement with Him, in His will, in the way He wants to do things. Amos gives us some examples from nature. The idea that a lion, you know, when they heard a lion, they're thinking, oh, he's on something, right? The lion is not going to roar before he gets his prey, because it'll be gone. The lion in his den or hiding place isn't going to make noise until he gets what he wants. Then he's going to roar, right? And again, that makes sense. People go, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. We understand that. Cause and effect. The young lion's not going to do that. He gives the example of traps, and they're kind of funny. I mean, when you read them, it's like, well, is a bird going to fall into a trap that's not there? Well, no. That makes no sense. And is a trap going to spring if nothing goes into it? Well, no. Again, keep in mind what Amos is doing here. He's just drawing them in. You know, it makes no sense. These things do not make sense. So the answer to these questions, of course, is no. And they're going to be going, no, that doesn't make sense at all. Of course these things are not true. And then we get to verse 6. Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Right? I mean, when the trumpets blew, that was a big deal. Enemies are approaching. You're a fool if you're just going to sit back and do nothing and prepare. Last night I was in Platteville. Tornado sirens went off. You know, it's kind of interesting because we had some customers there and they got out of the finance office and, when they were in, it wasn't storming. They came out, it was all storming. And so right away they got on the phone. They lived east over towards Argyle and that area, right? It got hit. And they're on the phone with the daughter and said, hey, we're seeing warnings here. It's heading your way. Get in the basement. And I heard the daughter going, I don't want to go in the basement. Mom's going, go in the basement. Don't be stupid. You know? Of course, I'm sticking my head out the door going, ooh, where is it? What's going on, right? Okay, so I understand, right? But you hear the warning. If you ignore it, there could be consequences. Cause and effect. As God is saying here, if you blow it and you don't listen to it, what do you expect? And he says, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? I mean, the common belief was, yeah, sure, armies did, and defeating, you need soldiers and these kind of things, nations, but in the day they go, but it's God. It's God who directs the flow of time and things. And so, see where Amos has brought them. See where he brought them here. My prophets are warning you. They're telling you these things. And when the disaster comes, are you not going to understand that this was God? Will you not hear the warning? I mean, hear the compassion here. God is compassionate. He does not wish to do these things. Turn your Bible real quick to Ezekiel 18, just a little ways back from where you are. God explicitly says this, and this is amazing. In Ezekiel chapter 18, in verse 23, the prophet tells us this from God. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn away from his way and live. He has compassion for all people. He does not desire for these things. That's why the prophets are being sent. That's why he sends an earthquake or a plague or whatever to get people's attention. And not just his chosen people, but all people. He has no desire. And in his compassion and his patience, he tries to warn us. He speaks. And the question is, are we listening? He gives us compassionate warnings. And we see that in 7 and 8. He does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He does nothing. He tells us. But then, echoing what he said in verse 4, the lion has roared. Will you not fear? Do you not hear? The lion is awake. The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? For Amos, he had no choice but to speak these words. He saw what he saw. He heard what he heard. And he spoke it. And again, God is begging his people through Amos, do you hear these things? Do you hear these warnings? What do I have to do to wake you up? I've sent prophets before, Jonah, to these pagan people. And Jonah didn't want to go, but he had no choice. It was too much, because God loves people. Noah, warn the people of the world, please, don't do this. Abraham, when God was seeking to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram begged God and said, is there anything we can do to stop this disaster? God cares for people, for all people. His great desire is to draw people to himself. He wants the wicked and the pagan to know him and understand him and see him. So the implications of this as we try to, again, hear the ring from 3,000 years ago. What would God tell us today? What is he speaking to us as we hear these words? These words are for us. Well, again, remember, we start, be cautious in pride in our status before God. God does not guarantee blessings or comfort just because of our status with God. That is the twisted, terrible heresy of prosperity gospel. That God is a vending machine, and that we can control the cause and effect. But even more insidious is the subtle effect that we can have of complacency, of relying on our family connections to a church. You know, gone to church my whole life. Of course I'm a Christian. I heard the gospel 50 years ago. Of course I'm a Christian. I go to church every week. I give money to World Vision. Of course I'm a Christian. I'm safe. Those things are not what's going to determine it. We could be in danger. We could be see something that's not even there, or that we don't see. It's there, we don't see it. And it comes down to, again, how are we treating other people? How are we thinking about people? In our scripture from Matthew this morning, you know, he said, I mean, yeah, adultery is one thing, but the bar is higher. You look at lust, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing with, you know, poor people or the disadvantaged. Yeah, I may not be directly abusing or rejecting a poor or vulnerable person, but what do I think about them when I see them? What are your thoughts about them? It's the same thing. That is the bar that Jesus has set for us. God's love, his desire is to bring all people to him. And so we should be cautious in trying to manipulate or control God in this way. Now, the other thing we have to keep in mind always is that in our fallen world, suffering is part of what we're going to go through. So be careful about pointing a finger at others or even at yourself. You know, I'm suffering something. You know, I have a sickness. Oh, I must have done something wrong. It must be sin in my life. Yes, God may be trying to get your attention. But we also, that's just part of this awful world we live in right now. But it may help to get your attention. It may help to have you rely on God more. God works all things for good for those who are called for his purpose, right? So don't be afraid to listen to the Holy Spirit in these things. We need to be cautious about rejecting messages we don't like, right? That's what they did to the prophets. And we have to consider that maybe the message is good, even if I don't agree with something about the person, right? If someone from a very progressive, liberal-leaning church has words for the way we're treating people, we may reject that just because now, nope, don't like that side of things. And it works the other way, right? And someone from a progressive, liberal sort of point of view may hear words from a conservative point of view and reject the message just because of where it's coming from. But we have to be careful of that. Hear the message. Put it up against God's word. Don't reject something because of some side issue or belief system. Don't reject someone because of political views or other things. Let's hear it and try to hear what God may be doing. We know God works in ways that we do not think would normally be. Right? I mean, if God is using, diminutive David to slay the giant, if God is saving the world by killing his son, if God is going to, save humanity by building a big boat, right? It's always unexpected. It's always how we don't think it's going to be. Then why would we think that if God is speaking to us and wants us to hear something, that it may come from somewhere that we are not expecting, that we don't think is right? That maybe what we need to hear is from a group of people that maybe we think is outside of the scope of what we'd normally be comfortable with. Don't be afraid to listen, because I just don't want to be at the point where I ignore or don't hear a thing, and then what I do hear is the lion roaring. It may be too late. That is what we have to watch out for. And I think we should always consider that if we hear a word from somebody else, and our first just knee-jerk reaction is to be defensive and put up the guards and be prickly, say, well, no, no, no. If that's your instant reaction, you want to step back and just take it in for a moment. It won't do any harm. Say, okay, I want to hear what you're saying. Let me consider that. Let me go to God's word. Let me go to God's people. Right? This is how things go, right? I heard this. I don't agree with it necessarily. What do you think? Do you see this? That's how together we get these things. And humility is the key. Right? When Jesus was with his disciples at the very end, coming into the Last Supper, and he told his disciples, one of you is going to betray me. Do you remember how they reacted? Did they get all, no, that's bad, no, no way. No, they said, is it I? Oh, Lord, please tell me it's not me. Please tell me, that's the attitude you want coming into these things. When we hear these messages, don't go, yeah, get out of here. Just ask the question, Lord, is that me? Could it be me? Is it maybe me? That's what we want to consider in all these things. If there's truth there, we want to hear it. Not a political agenda, not a social agenda, but there may be something there. Because truth is, we see abuse and power being thrown around in our world all over the place. We want to stand against it and hear God's word, that he wants all to come to him. That there's never an excuse to oppress or abuse or put down or name call or anything like that. None. Ever. Right? No matter what we think about that person, our call is to love and compassion and help. Always. And that's what will glorify God. Then God will work through that. And pick your issue. Homosexuality, transgenderism, sin, adultery, pornography, whatever it is, it's easy. I mean, whatever it is that affects you. I mean, for me, right? If I just watched this thing the other day, and they had somewhere down south, and they had convicted, and they found this man who was house full of child pornography. Right? Man, my heart just burned. I mean, I felt literally angry. Like, if that man was before me, right then, I think I would want to throttle him. Right, we saw him many ways, right? But can I step back and see him as God does? Of course he sees the sin. Of course he hates that. Does God want that man to be saved? Does God want that man to have his eyes opened? Is it possible for that to happen? Is he too far gone? No, he's not. Could that person be redeemed and have his heart open to Jesus and stand next to me in heaven? Yeah. And that's hard to swallow. I think even right now, I think about that and going, oh my goodness. Where's the justice? And there will be justice. There will be. Pick your issue. Can you have compassion for that person that is the other that makes you uncomfortable? That is what Amos is pointing us to. He says, wake up, hear me. Hear what I'm saying. If you want your nation to prosper, look at how you're treating people. And God will be glorified in these things. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you would help all of us to hear. Lord, give us the humility. Help us to kill the pride that would seek to have us be arrogant and not hear your compassion towards other people. Lord, I pray that we would desire to have your kingdom spread. That those who don't know you, those who are going the wrong way, even in terrible ways, that our desire would be for you to break through and be glorified in redeeming and opening eyes and saving them. Lord, help us to look in the mirror, not be arrogant. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that is relying upon anything else other than your grace and the price that you've paid to allow us to be right with you. Anybody here that's relying on history or just a simple prayer made when they were young but not lived out from there. God, stir our hearts to be your people, strong. And together we will see you glorified around us. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, I pray. Lord, I pray that we would wake up before the lion roars. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this week. God bless you in all these things. Go in peace.